Hello, thanks for listening to the Total Knee Tips and Pearls podcast. This is Adam Rosen, your host. I'm a fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeon who specializes in joint replacement. In these episodes, I'm going to share with you a lot of my tips and tricks and review classic articles and current implant designs. Thanks for tuning in and on with the show. Hello, welcome back. This is Adam Rosen, and you're listening to the Total Knee Tips and Pearls podcast. So it's been a little while since the last updated episode, which was on January 30th. So lots of reasons. I've been busy with a lot of stuff, and I'll have some more episodes coming your way on a more regular basis. Today's sort of my administrative day, sort of academic day, so I'm doing a lot of work. Today is Friday, the 18th. So happy match day. Congratulations to all of you that have matched. It's an exciting time for all of you. Sorry for all of those people that don't match. It's kind of a messed up process, I think. I think there's so many medical schools, so many students coming out, and just not enough residency spots. So hopefully maybe you can scramble, find a spot, but don't give up. You know, if you really love orthopedics and caring for people, it's a great field. Look into a research year, see what other opportunities are available, and then try again next year, reapply, and hopefully you get in next year. A couple more housekeeping things. For those of you that don't know, I did publish a book that I was able to finish during the COVID shutdown multiple times. It's called The Knee Book, A Guide to the Aging Knee. It was designed and written for patients and to patients, obviously all about the knee, and it goes through a very clear, concise algorithm, in my opinion, from why a knee hurts to how we treat it non-operatively, how we treat it surgically, up through knee replacement, the rehab, the risks, the benefits. I think it's a great resource, though, for young orthopedic residents, because in that book, I share with patients a ton of analogies on how I talk to them in the office and how I describe things, both on x-rays and MRIs and surgery and complications. So I think there's a lot of information that you can glean from that that you can then take back into your clinic rotations, as well as into practice, you know, when you're in clinic with these patients. There's also a YouTube channel. So for those of you that don't know, again, once this is geared mostly to patients and for patients, but during COVID, I have been able to find some of my old PowerPoint lectures that I was able to put up. So there's some informative stuff for surgeons, but definitely more of it's geared towards patients. But definitely check that out, because I have a lecture that I was asked to give next month on the posterior approach that I'm working on. So it's going to go through a lot of the specific details of the actual procedure. And at some point, I'll get that uploaded onto the YouTube page. Leading into today's topic, though, I want to talk about hip implants. You know, I haven't really talked on specific implants up until this point, and I was thinking, you know, I'll probably do one on knees also. For those of you that may not know, when I was younger, I was really big into skydiving, and we competed. I did a lot of photography and skydiving. I taught, and I had a bunch of sponsors, and one of the things that I always talked to the sponsors about, like when it came to parachutes and canopies, was, you know, I didn't want to have any tie that I couldn't use another company's parachute, because, you know, if one of my students asked, you know, what I like about the particular canopy that I flew, it's really hard to tell them why you think it was the best or the greatest if you've never used the competitors or you've never tried another style or brand. So one of the things that I always thought was very important and useful was to fly different canopies to get a feel. So if somebody was using a particular canopy and they were thinking about switching, I could explain that, you know, the openings might be softer or the turns might be crisper or the landing, you know, would be different, because I was able to use all of those different systems. So today I want to talk to you really about the three sort of newest stems that are on the market: the DePuy Actis, the Zimmer Avenir, and the Stryker Insignia. Now, again, kind of going back to that same philosophy of using stems, you know, when I started practicing, a lot of stuff was fit and fill. And I used a lot of Helmetic and Osteonix, which, you know, then became Stryker. So early on in my career, I put a ton of the SecureFit in. We used a particular style of the SecureFit called the J-Stem, which was the Japanese. So really similar to the Americanized version, which had a C taper, but it had a V40 taper. I've used some Smith & Nephew. I switched over to more of a blade, mostly on the Striker realm, using Accolade, the original TMZF, switching over to Accolade 2. You know, I have put in the Tri-Lock. I have put in the original ML taper. On the Smith & Nephew side, Echelon, and I forget one of their other stems that I've used before. And I've also put the Wagner style stems in, and the Zweimuller. So, you know, I have a pretty good feel of different stems. And to be honest with you, as a press fitter for a while, I was always sort of against the idea of a collar. You know, I think a lot of press fitters are. You know, we went from cement to AML style stems, and the fear of, you know, subsidence was a big issue, so the collars were there to prevent it to subside. But I think a lot of press fitters, you know, I've always felt that, hey, I'm going to put my stems in tight. I put mine in very tight, you know, some maybe not as tight. So people were then apt to accept a little bit of subsidence, and they kind of thought on my post-op x-rays that this might settle a little bit. So the idea also was, like, if you put a collar in, would it stop that? You know, if the stem needed 2 millimeters to settle, maybe didn't put it in tight enough, number one, but if it did have to settle, would the collar prevent that? And then could that lead to an increase in fibrous ingrowth? So when the first collared systems came out, you know, that was the first thing that caught me off guard. When Actis came out, I did Actis, probably did over 100 Actis. I've probably done about 100 Avaniers now. I put my first Insignia in probably over a month ago now. So I just wanted to kind of compare some of the things that I saw and some of the little nuances between the systems, and also maybe answer some of the reasons why I switched from one to the other. So, you know, when the Actis came out, again, it was the first collared stem press fit that I've used in a while. They offer sizes 0 through 12. They all have a collar. They have a 130-degree neck shaft angle, and they have a lateral offset option. And the lateral offset kicks you out 6 degrees in the sizes 0 through 3, and it kicks you out 8 millimeters in the sizes 4 through 12. Now, one of the things that I liked early on, and what I heard from some people, is that, you know, they didn't push the sizes. They tended to undersize it. And I think you might see that more in the anterior hip world. Again, I'm a posterior guy when I do my hips, although I'm doing less and less hips nowadays than I used to. So, you know, I still put them in quite tight. And I always take an intraoperative x-ray. So I have the ability of seeing maybe I am undersized. It gives me the opportunity to go up a size or two. But what I've heard from people is that they have put these in a little undersized. So for the anterior people, that might be a way of maybe reducing your risk of fracture if you have a higher than normal risk of intraoperative fracture. The collar, what I found on some of the smallest patients, was a little long or stuck out a little medial, which did make me a little nervous about iliopsoas impingement. The positive thing that I thought, and with all three of these systems, really is the brooches. I think the brooches have really improved, where they talk about, you know, the different types of cutting flutes and impaction. I honestly can't really feel a huge difference, but what I did find is that the brooches were easy to use and the stems fit clear to the size of the brooch. You know, it wasn't if you put stems in that felt too tight or stems that went in. You know, it really felt that the brooch broached the bone well and that the stems fit pretty true to the brooch itself. Now, when it comes to collared systems, what I have found, though, for a lot of these, actually all three of these, is that depending on the coating and the calcar planing, the coating on the bottom of the collar, that more often than not, in the beginning, I would put the stem down, calcar plane trial, take an x-ray, like everything, put the stem in. It always felt a little long, as if the stem was sitting a little higher than the brooch. So what I do on most occasions is that once I like everything, I tend to countersink the brooch just a little bit, and then calcar plane again before I actually put my stem in, and to prevent the feeling or notice of that stem being, or the leg being a little long because the broach is sitting up a little higher. And again, I don't know if it is an issue with the coating on the undersurface of the collar, or if it's an issue with the calcar planer not being truly flush on the top of the broach. I've heard from some people that the engineers tried to design that up so the calcar planer wouldn't catch on the metal of the broach. But it's something that I would say look out for. And if you feel that or notice that, just be aware that this might be occurring in your cases too. So you might want to countersink that a little bit. One of the things that I've never been super happy with on the Depew hip line is the head options. So, you know, you have your minus two option, which only comes in metal. So you have to be aware of that. If you have a young patient, you trial it, you're like, oh yeah, minus two. Just remember that then you do not have a ceramic option at that side. And then it jumps to their standard, which is a plus 1.5. But the next jump is a plus five. And a lot of surgeons that I've talked to have the same thoughts that I do. A lot of patients seem to fall between that 1.5 and 5. You almost want like a 3. I don't know if it would be 3.25, 3.75, but really halfway in between. And then the next jump is 8.5. But I find a lot of times, you know, 1.5, maybe I don't have the tension on my abductors or the length feels a little short. I'll try the 5. It just feels a little too long or too tight. And then the question is, how important is it? Like, how off is it? You know, do you have to take the broach out, countersink the stem? Do you have to take the cup out, medialize the cup? You know, what little nuances do you have to do? But that was just kind of my take on the Actis. Now, on a positive sense, and I'll tell you, for Actis and all three of these stems, I found that patients did really well. And I think there's two factors there. I do believe, and the data and the scientific engineering stuff will show, like, that collar, you know, people think about it as preventing subsidence, but also at that angle, it controls rotation. So what I found with a lot of the blade style implants is there is this little micro motion. And if you look at x-rays down the road, you'll see little like windshield wiper washing change at the tip of the stem. And there's that complaint that a lot of patients have of this like achiness or soreness or kind of startup leg pain that they get in the beginning. And whether or not that's rotational, whether or not that's ingrowth and axial loading, but with the collar, that like disappeared. So patients would just come in and, you know, how are you feeling? And it was like you expect with every hip patient. It's just, you know, they feel great, no pain. So I think that was, you know, a huge positive. The other thing is that it's supposed to be protective potentially with periprosthetic fractures. That I have had two patients since I started putting those in that have fallen. Both had minimally displaced fractures involving the trochanters. It's too small of a study for me to say that that's true of all of these stems. But when you have a blade in there and these patients fall, I mean, the femur shatters. So that's a big, big thing. Next up in that setup was the Avenir. So I switched over to the Zimmer Avenir. And what I'll tell you, with both systems, what I did see is although they do taper distally, some of these door A femurs, you need to ream distally. So again, this comes down to a feel and a sound and experience level. But occasionally these stems will pot. You know, I think when the Actis first came out, again, you know, they felt this was a broach-only system, that it's fairly tapered, it's definitely shorter than the Avenir, and then it wouldn't need any distal reamers. But yes, on occasion, there were some of these patients with these door A femurs that got caught up distally, and you needed some type of reamer to open up distally. So I also saw that with the Avenir more so. I think the profile is a little bit thicker, boxier, and it's a little bit longer. If I remember correctly, I think the shortest Actis is 95. The Avenir is like 115, and it grows to 150 or 151. So it's a little bit longer. So on these type A femurs, just know that if it looks really, really tight distally, you should have some reamers available. The collar, again, they offer a collar and a no collar option. So it was interesting that, again, you know, I was not a collared person. I didn't believe in collars. I always thought collars were weird with press fit stems. And then when I started putting Actises in, what I found is that really large obese patients, that if I was using a system without a collar, I really was thinking, wow, I kind of wish I had the collar. And older patients, where they weren't old enough and osteoporotic enough that in my hands I would cement. But what I found is I had a lot more comfort with that collar. So, you know, I really, I think 100% of my hips now all have a collar, but the Avenir offers the collared and a non-collared option. So if you decided that, yes, I don't want to use a collar, they do offer that where the Actis only comes with a collar. The neck shaft angle on the Avenir is 135. They also offer a lateralized option. So the lateralized option kicks you out 6. If you remember, the Actis in the smaller size is 6 millimeters of lateral offset, 8 millimeters in the bigger. The lateral offset for the Avenir is 6 millimeters. The other nice thing, though, that I do like about the Avenir, again, being a heavy striker user for 15 plus years, is that I really got used to the feel and the geometry of their 127 degree neck shaft angle. So the Avenir offers their Coxa Vera neck, which is a 126 and a half neck shaft angle. So if you put the standard on, you're like, oh, I think I need a little bit more offset. You put the high offset on, you add 6, maybe you feel a little tight, a little long. The Coxa Vera drops you down and in. So what you'll notice is that you lose a little length and you lose a little bit of offset. So it kind of kicks your troche up and out a little bit. So if you're in between, and I find you see some of these like Vera style necks on your preoperative x-ray and templating, that those are ones that you have to be cautious with. So knowing a system that offers you those options, you can just change the neck on the fly versus I need to change my implant because they only offer a more vertical neck shaft angle and this person has a more varus neck. You might be able to get away with a true just lateral offset, but this is a nice option because you have 3 of these options. They offer sizes 0 up through 7.5. And then the neck length jumps at the 8 and 9, sort of what they call their macro stems. As far as the collar, though, I think the collar on this is nicer, especially in the smaller sizes. It's smaller and lower profile, again, than the Actis. If you remember, again, I said the Actis collar stuck out a little bit in some of the smaller sizes. This was in. What is interesting, though, is that I have a few bigger patients where I think the collar was almost obsolete because the collar was so small in this largest, like, you know, 8.5, 9 macro stems that sometimes the collar didn't even seem like it engaged the cortex. So you'd almost make an argument of, you know, why even use the collar? But it was one of those ones where I broached it, opened the collar, put the stem in, it stopped. But I recognized the collar wasn't really even sitting on the cortex. So maybe stems in the future, I mean, maybe there is a reason of some anthropometric change or growth in the collar. But I haven't seen any in the Avenir where the collar's overhanging the medial aspect of the calcar. Next up was the Insignia. So this is Stryker's new stem to the game, which was initially, I think, supposed to be called the Titan, and they changed it to the Insignia. I'm not 100% sure because I've asked and I haven't seen it in their brochures, and their brochures are sort of hard to find, but actually when I had a brochure and I measured it with a goniometer, their neck shaft angle is 130. Now, I don't know the thought process. The Stryker system has been really built around this, you know, 127 degree neck shaft angle and their vertical. Now I can't remember if it's 132 or 135, but I think this was sort of a happy medium. And I think heavy Stryker users that are used to a 127, I know 3 degrees doesn't sound like much, but I think may feel that they don't have the offset that they once did, and they're going to have to get used to sort of this new change of the geometry and the feel and the balancing. But all of their stems are offered at the 130 degree neck shaft angle. They offer a lateral offset or high offset of 5 millimeters. So again, compared to the Actis and the Avenir, this just pushes it out 5 millimeters. They offer sizes 0 through 11, and their neck length jump from 30 to 43. They tried to make it a little narrower. So if you're used to the Accolade, you know, it used to be like 4, 5, and 6, and then you jump again. And what they tried to do is tried to make the jumps like every 2 broach sizes, and the jumps tended to be smaller and more symmetric as opposed to having big 5 millimeter jumps between some sizes, you know, and 2 or 3 millimeter jumps between other sizes. I don't have enough experience to know whether or not this is going to bind distally in those really tight type A femurs, but I would suspect that if you have a really tight femur, again, they typically tend to be guys, they typically tend to have a really large proximal bone and just this narrow, tight distal fitting. So I suspect with the larger sizes, you might run into the same thing. The one thing that I did notice with the Insignia compared to other Stryker systems, though, is that the lateral shoulder of the implant tends to sit up a little higher. And even if you look at their, I don't know if they changed it yet, but if you see their techniques manual, the neck cutting guide, which I don't normally use when I do hips from any system, but the neck cutting guide is actually the Accolade neck cutting guide. But what I found was that the cut where I thought it would be, I would say if you're using the Insignia, make your cut a few millimeters taller and a little flatter. And that's what I found is that the neck shaft angle, not the neck shaft angle, but the angle of the calcar and the cut, what I found in the beginning is if you use the calcar planer, that there tended to be a little gap. And if my cut was a little flatter than I would normally make it, the calcar planer would have taken it down. It would look just cleaner and nicer on the X-ray. Definitely would be an issue if you undersized, because you know if your calcar is not flush with where the collar sits, there's that greater risk of subsidence or rotational instability. But that's what I would say is just a little technical pearl on that is cut your neck a little bit longer and cut it a little flatter, because if you make it too vertical, you might find that when you calcar plane that your collar is sort of floating in the breeze a little bit. Just my two cents, you know, and I think it's hard to tell this in a podcast, but what you should start to do, and I would, you know, keep your little book or your Google Docs or however you're keeping it, but what you'll notice, and you know, when I work with the fellows, is that certain systems, I look for certain anatomic landmarks, like with the Accolade, the way the shoulder is sort of recessed, there's a certain spot where I see it fit when we're broaching with most people. Same thing with the Insignia, same thing with the Avenir, same thing with the Actis. There's certain little landmarks that you look at, because you could arbitrarily broach, and with a small broach, you could keep hitting it further. And the question is, you know, you might have a hard fit and you're thinking, oh, I need to go up, but it's really sitting where it needs to sit. So, you know, as you start making little marks that every time I put the stem in, when we believe it's where it needs to be, this is where I see the shoulder. This is what I see on the bone. This is what I see in relation to the X-ray. It gives you that information that next time you're putting a broach in, if you're sort of between sizes, it can let you know, oh, you know what? It is too high or low. I do need to keep it here. I do need to go up. But this is where an X-ray is extremely important. And for those of you that are not using intraoperative X-ray, again, you know, whether or not you do an anterior posterior, it doesn't matter which approach, but it is immediate feedback. You know, you will know right away whether or not that stem is undersized, if it's in varus, you know, if your neck cut was too long, because you don't want to get to the recovery room, take an X-ray and go, oh, I wish I would have. You want to be able to make those changes in the operating room. So just my two cents on the new shorter broach body collared stems that are on the market, the DePue Actis, the Zimmer Avenir, and the Stryker Insignia. And I'll probably put together something along these lines with knees and kind of go into a little nuances, details of things that I see or look for, you know, when it comes to the common total knee designs that are on the market now. Until next time, stay safe, keep reading. Again, congratulations to all of those of you that have matched for your next step in your careers. And sorry for those of you that didn't match, but you know, keep plugging away and look for other options, reapplying next year. It's a great field. It's a great way to be able to help people that are in pain and suffering. And that's the reason we all do this. And it's the reason why I share this stuff with you, to help you help others. Take care. You've been listening to the Total Knee Tips and Pearls podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed so you'll be notified of future episodes. And please take the time to leave a review. It helps other people like you find the show. Until next time, stay safe.